In this tape, we're going to consider the words false, falsely, and falsehood. First of all, I'm sure we all know the verse in Proverbs that says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Another verse with the same thought is Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs, which comes soon after Psalms, Proverbs 20, verse 23. "Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good." The word used there is mirmah, the Hebrew word M-I-R-M-A-H. Deceit, deceitful balance. It's usually easy to see a false balance, but it's not always easy for us to know right from wrong in other ways. Maybe Israel found the same thing. Sometimes it should have been obvious. For example, Jeremiah 10, verse 14, speaks of a molten image and falsehood. Jeremiah 10, verse 14, "Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them." What else would one expect of a molten image? But sometimes it's not so easy to tell. Can you always tell when someone's telling you a lie? We find not only idols involved, but diviners. Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah 10, verse 2. "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain." Here too we find false dreams. It's extremely difficult to know a false dream from a true one. Turning back to Jeremiah, we find false visions and therefore false prophecies. Jeremiah 14. Chapter 14 and verse 14. "Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." The Hebrew word used there is shechar, S-H-E-Q-E-R. We note too that the prophets were prophesying lies in my name. They didn't leave him out. They didn't do it in the name of idols or false gods. It was done in his name. And that was the prophets. Jeremiah 13, verse 25, tells us what accompanies trusting in falsehoods. Jeremiah 13, verse 25. "This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood." Thou hast forgotten me. That was the people. The prophets were prophesying falsehood, saying it was in the name of the Lord. And those who should have been trusting in the Lord had forgotten him. So were accepting falsehoods instead. There was error on both sides. Turning to the New Testament, we find in Luke that our Lord warned his disciples of hatred and reproach, which they would suffer for his sake. That's Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 verse 22. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." He followed it with a number of woes, and then in verse 26, he said, "Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Several times we find people suffered from false witnesses. Our Lord did. Turn back to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, verse 55. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain, and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another, made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. Stephen was another, Acts chapter 6. Acts 6, verse 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him, and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Paul was another. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul lists his sufferings. 2 Corinthians 11. He says in verse 25, Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. The word used is pseudodelphos, and occurs only here and in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. False brethren, unawares brought in stealthily. They're people to watch out for. Before we go further with the epistles, we should go back to the Gospels and see some more references there. First Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. We are warned that there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. That's still future, as far as complete fulfillment is concerned. Not only will they probably appear in sheep's clothing, but shall we turn to Matthew 24, verse 11. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And verse 24, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. You don't have to turn many pages before we find Paul confronted with a false prophet. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. When we think of miracles, we probably think first and foremost of healing miracles, but this was the opposite. His interference in the Lord's work with regard to the deputy had to be dealt with, so blindness came upon him. Now we'll turn to the second epistle of Peter. To Peter. As in Acts, when Paul and Barnabas were seeking to do the Lord's work with the deputy, so Satan, in the form of the sorcerer, tried to stop the work. So here in 2 Peter. The last verse of chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were doing the Lord's work. So the next verse says, but, chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. John obviously lived to see not just one false prophet, but many. They were denying that the Lord Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. So he gave a warning. 1 John 4. First Epistle of John, chapter 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Not all false prophets say the same things, of course. John saw only a partial fulfillment of Matthew 24, and the complete and final fulfillment is still future. We read about it in the Revelation. There's one mention of the false prophet in Revelation chapter 16, which I think we might look at. Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Devils working miracles, something to be watched out for. We may tend to think of miracles as God-given, but not so here. There's another reference to this in chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. What sort of miracles will be performed? Just trivial ones? No. Turn back to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? In verse 3 we read, And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. The actual word is slain. The same word occurs in chapter 5, verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. There's another reference to this deadly wound in chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And verse 13 says of this other beast, He doeth great wonders. We'll read verse 13 down to verse 15. Verse 13, And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In chapter 17, verse 8, we have another reference to this resurrection. Chapter 17, verse 7. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. And the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. This is not just a bit of magic. It's an amazing miracle, a copy of our Lord's death and resurrection. No wonder our Lord said in Matthew 24, Take heed that no man deceive you. That was verse 4. Now we'll reread verse 24. Matthew 24, and verse 24, For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You may think we're not being deceived like that at the moment. There's no deception like that going on now. Even so, we still need to be very careful. How did the evil one appear to Eve? As an ugly satanic beast? No, he'd never have called her as he did. Genesis 3, verse 1 simply says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The word serpent is translated from the Hebrew word nahash, a shining one. The meaning of the Hebrew word is confirmed by 2 Corinthians, Chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Verse 13, for such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now we must read the next verse, verse 15. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We read earlier the Lord's warning, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. One of the best ways of avoiding being deceived is by prayer. Another is knowledge of God's word. If Eve had known for certain what God's words were, she wouldn't have been so easily caught. She misquoted God's words. She added a bit. Shall we see that? Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. These are God's words. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Then in chapter 3, verse 2, we have Eve's words. Chapter 3, verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Who said they shouldn't touch it? God didn't. Also, instead of thou shalt surely die, Eve said, lest ye die. Satan seems to have known better than Eve what the Lord had said. Verse 4, ye shall not surely die. He knew, but he contradicted. The better we know God's word, the less chance Satan has of tripping us up. So we need to pray that we may get to know more and increase our understanding too of his precious word, so that we may be the better able to discern what is truth and what is falsehood. We need to remember the Bereans of Acts 17, who searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Amen.